God, was there anything in me that said, oh, this will solve this? Amen? When my house was broken into, okay? And the Lord, it was so cool. I had one necklace I wanted. The first thing I thought of was this one necklace I wanted because my husband had given it to me as a cross for our anniversary, like our second anniversary or something. But it had my daughter's little beads on it. You know, does anybody remember when they had those little beads and every year you bought your kid a bead and you bought your kid a bead if they burped and you bought the kid a bead? It depended on how rich you were. If you're rich, you bought a kid a bead. If they burped, got a tooth, you know, went to the potty on their own. And if you weren't rich, you got a bead when they were one, when they were two, when they were three, okay, whatever. But everybody had these little beads, you know, and, you know, they had the imitation, the gold, whatever. Well, my daughter had some of those little beads. And we weren't rich, so she only had seven little beads on her seven little neck. Anyhow. Or maybe we just weren't goofy. But anyhow, bottom line was that meant a lot to me. Because for those who don't know, my daughter went to be with the Lord when she was seven. So that meant a lot to me. Now, I already knew when my son said all the jewelry was taken, which isn't a lot. Have fun with my $5 on sale jewelry, you know, from wherever. But anyhow, if you like plastic, go for my jewelry. Anyhow, especially back then. Oh, my gosh. But the cool thing was the insurance company gave you $5 a pair, and I had over 100 earrings. I mean, I made like $2,000 on a bunch of junk jewelry. But anyhow. And I wasn't lying. And this is what I'm getting to. But just to tell you, that one necklace, which meant a whole lot to me, somehow, I know an angel did it. I just know it because all my stuff was dumped over into a bag and taken. And my son, I wasn't home, but my son said, Mom, you know, your jewelry's gone. Just know your jewelry's gone. And I prayed to God. I said, Lord, I just want that one necklace. I just want that one. And it wasn't the most expensive piece of jewelry I had stolen. I said, I just want that one necklace. And when I came home, I have a prayer room. And John goes, I'm not messing with your prayer room because you got all kinds of crazy stuff in there, whatever. I'll do, you know, he cleaned up most of the rest of the house because they ram-checked everything. And when I walked in the room, I felt the presence of God so strong. And I looked over, and there was that necklace without even a knot in it, laid out on a dresser where it would have never, ever been. And I just glorified God. I just started praising him and thanking him. That's how powerful our God is. Life is not in your possessions. There's a scripture in Luke, I think it's 12, that's really powerful about that. And that's another whole conference to help people get free from hoarding and holding on to stuff. And I knew, and I even told the Lord, I'll be fine if I don't get the necklace back. But God, I just really would like that necklace. And it was there. And then he also found some other, I mean, they found stuff of mine at the pawn shop I had no idea was worth so much. People had given it to me for praying for their children and stuff like that. And it's like, wow, everything of mine came back. They found everything of mine that had any value. And the stuff like two really old laptops, I'm talking like ancient of days. We had the kind of insurance where they gave us the newest thing. So my sons both got Macs for college, you know. And then we totally redid the kitchen with the other stuff that was stolen. All legit stuff that was stolen, but when the insurance came. But if my heart was like, wow, that was great, then I open up the door for the spirit of mammon to let me get robbed again. Do you see what I'm saying? It's okay that I took what I had paid insurance for years and years to make a legit claim on. It's just, what is your heart? Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, we paid the insurance for years and years and years and years and years. And so for them to have to give back to us some of these things that we paid the extra to be able to get, that's fine. That's okay. That's accepted in our society. Amen? But if we had made up stuff or we had gotten excited about the enemy coming into our house and doing things, plus the guy got caught. I prayed to get caught that day. He got caught that day. And he had done over, it was a little gang and they did over, they did 8 houses in our neighborhood and over 50 houses in the neighborhood down the street and 200 in another. And it was when I prayed in love and I asked God to save them and have them do something really ridiculous and get caught. They got caught and it was with my stuff. They got caught at a pawn shop. But anyhow, and even my computer was, I asked for God to save my new computer. I was hoping my book was still in there, but the pawn shop erased it. Isn't that wrong? That is wrong. All they had to do is look on there, and they knew who owned that computer. But I'm just saying, it's amazing the stuff I found. But you can't benefit from evil, okay? You can't benefit from evil and then not expect evil to have authority in your life, okay? The victim mentality says, well, somebody better take care of me. Somebody better take care of me. Somebody better take care of me. Who's going to take care of me? When God says you can do all things through him who strengthens you, when God will give you wisdom, when God will show you how to prosper, when God will get you out of poverty, amen? But if we take on that lie, if we take on that lie that somebody owes this to me or poor me, I'm a victim, that identity is spiritual and the enemy will stay with you. I'll say this, as the Lord has, this ministry has gone through so much to be free from racism, all kind of stuff. It's just been a real wild trip in this place over the last couple of years. It's been amazing. But one thing, I am totally in agreement with helping people get ahead. I am totally in agreement with that. I am totally in agreement with helping people be able to get an education, helping people be able. I'm not in agreement with using the system and taking the money and never even getting a degree. And I'm not talking any color here. I tell you, this church, we got people both races who've abused the system. I'll be honest with you. And there's just something wrong with that. It's something wrong. If the Lord makes a way to bless you, to help you to get ahead, then your heart should be, one day I'm going to pay this back in a big way. One day I'm going to pay this back in a big way. Not take advantage of it. And I'm just saying this because we've got to let God deal with all these things before we break this victim mentality and Satan having so much authority in our lives. Amen? And we need to have the heart to preach that. We need to have the heart to teach that. We need to have the heart to say, look, how do we see this changed? Amen? And so one thing about being healed of all these hurt places is facing them. It doesn't mean you hate your mother if your mother was on welfare. Amen? But it means you stop and say, wait a minute, I don't need to live like this because I'm not a victim. God, I got faith. God, show me what to do. Help me. And then if there's a grant or something comes along to give you an education, fine, take it. Take it with, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to do something powerful with this. Lord, make me the best. I'm going to make A's. Show me what to do. Don't take some kind of class that you'll never get a job. I've had people take their degrees. I'm like, do you just like throwing your money away or taxpayer money away? Do search it. Find out. Ask the Lord. Don't just take a class because you liked it. And if you don't need an education to do what it is you're taking a class to do, then don't waste the money. Unless you got lots of money to waste, then that's your business. But really, seek the Lord. Lord, give me wisdom. What do I do with this? Where do I go with this? How do I make this change my life as a gift from you? How do I take this talent you're giving me right now and do something with it to bring increase? Amen? Amen? And so we got to break these mentalities. We got to break. No condemnation, right? No condemnation. The Lord, one of our ministries, he told me to name it Now What? Or What Now? You could do it either way. Now What? What Now? It's like, okay, they messed up. Okay, they've got all this mess going. Okay, this and this. Okay, so what? Now what? Now what do we do to help them get free? Now what do we do to meet the needs? Now what do we do to get them where God wants them to be? We need to have the now what hearts. Now what do I do, God? Now what do I do, God? Amen? And when we have a now what heart, we can get God's wisdom to really help people and completely change their lives. Amen? And we got to be led of the Spirit as to when to do what for who. I don't put money in a sinking boat. If somebody's having a bad time, let's say somebody had a doctor bill they almost never have, and because they pay the doctor bill that they almost would never have, they can't pay their mortgage. Right? Then that would be a really good time to step up and help them pay the mortgage. Why? Because they're going to be able to pay the mortgage after that. Right? But and then maybe get them to learn how to save a little bit, whatever. But do you see what I'm saying? But if somebody and paying the mortgage, and that ship is going down, and they need to go find another place to live or start preparing, then paying one more month is just wasting your money. Unless the Lord really puts on your heart to do that. Do you understand what I'm saying? So God wants us to have wisdom with all of this. He wants us to be light. He wants us to bring answers. Amen? And part of getting our hearts completely healed and free and set free so we can walk this stuff out is powerful, and then breaking it off of our children. Amen? Listen to this. Psalms 139. O Jehovah, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down, my rising up. You understand my thoughts from afar off. You sift my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. For not a word is on my tongue, but lo, Lord, you know it all. You have closed me in behind and in front, and your hand is laid on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is set on high. I am not even able to reach it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your faith? Your face. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to Sheol or hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning, dwelling in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall seize me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light around me, even the darkness will not be dark from you, but the night shines as the day, as in the darkness, so is the light. For you have possessed my inward parts. You have wove me in the womb of my mother. I thank you. For you, with awesome ways, I am distinguished. Your works are marvelous, and my soul knows it very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my embryo. This is the literal translation. Your eyes saw my embryo, and in your book, all my members were written the days they were formed. He knew when I was going to have fingers. He knew when my arms were going to be formed. He knew when my kneecaps were going to be formed. All of my members were written in the days they were formed, and not one was yet among them. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Okay, and then we'll stop there. Let that sink. That's God talking to you. That's God, your Father, talking to you. And I just want you to see this. No matter what was going on in the natural, no matter what was going on in the natural when you were conceived or when you conceived, no matter what was going on in the natural when you were conceived or when you conceived, this is what God was up to. Isn't that awesome? He's going, you're distinguished, and we all try to be alike. Because I'm going to make you distinguished. It's like, and when we were talking about this, you have to get the teaching when it comes out. He celebrated. Hey, Monica, bring the soul and the spirit of Monica. They named, this is Monica's going to be born. Oh, let's give her mother's eyes. That'll make her mom so happy. And, oh, wouldn't it be cool if, I know, I got a great one. Let's put a calling on her life. Oh, that'd be cool. I want to see her preach one day. Let's make her a big mouth. If the enemy tries to shut her up, we'll teach her to shut him up. Oh, let's do this, and let's do that, and let's do this. I want you to see that when that embryo, and that's his literal translation, God is putting life. Not life is already there. God is putting together, member by member, characteristic by characteristic, every little part of you while you're in that womb. It's such a powerful, sacred place. It should be such a safe place, amen? But the enemy has gotten in there in some case, and he's tried from the very beginning to make you buy lies that there's something wrong, that you weren't ever supposed to be, that God doesn't love you, amen? And you got to, you may have to read this word over to yourself over and over and over and say, God is not going to leave me nor forsake you. God loves me. God is, he knew me. He has known everything about me. He was there. He was there by his Spirit. Even if your mama won't saved, he was there by his Spirit making you marvelous, distinguished, celebrating you. Maybe in the natural they weren't celebrating you. Maybe in the natural nobody even wanted you. Maybe in the natural you were seen as a big mistake. Maybe in the natural you revealed somebody's sin. You're not sin just because you were the result of somebody else's sin. Let me say this. The natural law that came together could have been a result of somebody's sin. But the spiritual law of God as your Father, God as your Creator, God is making you, God making you marvelous, God making you awesome, God making you distinguished, God so involved with your creation is real. And he doesn't change at all because of your circumstance of the natural that happened before he was right there. Amen? Do you get that? Now, if you've ever aborted a baby, if you've ever aborted a baby, you allowed the enemy's lies, the fear, to come in and yank out of that womb what God was working on. And God wants real remorse for that. Not condemnation, but a remorse that says, oh my gosh, you could have worked that out for good. If I wasn't so afraid of what people would think, if I wasn't so afraid of what was going to happen to me, if I wasn't so afraid about money, if I wasn't so afraid, I would have never of interfered, God, with what you were doing. Forgive me, God. Forgive me for not trusting you to turn that to good. Forgive me for not trusting you to help me to make a way, to take the shame if there was shame, to pay the bills if there was bills to be paid, to make my mom and dad get the grace to get over it. God, forgive me. To face any sin if there was sexual sin in a relationship you were in and this was going to hurt that relationship. Lord, forgive me for not trusting you with that relationship. More than likely, the relationship fell apart anyway. Okay? So real repentance is recognizing you took from the Lord what he was right in the midst of making. Amen? So you really owe him a really deep apology. You really owe him not just repentance, but in this situation, I believe you owe God an apology. Forgive me, God, for taking out of your hand, you who are the author of life, you who are the one who is to make the beginning and the end and fill in all the pages. I took that away from you because of the enemy. And God, I ask you to forgive me. And guess what? He has. But God, I forgive myself. I forgive myself. And I ask you to break that spirit of murder off of my family line. I ask you to break that spirit of murder off my family line. Let me even take it deeper. If you ever found yourself pregnant and you wanted a miscarriage, you even wanted a miscarriage or you even thought about abortion, you need to ask God to forgive you. Even if everything went through fine, you still opened the door for that child to feel like they weren't wanted. And we have a teaching on being wanted. There's something that the enemy, unless you really repent and break the power of it, will surround that child with feeling like something's wrong with them. Some of you have that feeling and you don't know why. Amen? So Lord God, we just come before you. Lord, we ask you to heal this very real and hurt place in the lives of people in this room and those who are listening to this. Father, even the men who have fathered children and don't even know about it. Or Lord, men who've paid and served the spirit of mammon to destroy that which you were in the middle of creating. Father, forgive us. Forgive every person who has ever agreed with the enemy against life and against how precious it is. Lord, forgive every person who has ever voted in any way, shape, or form for abortion. And Lord, let us make our voices known. This is not a non-issue. This is the very issue of the heart of a God who loves creation so much. Now, if God is working in your heart on any of these kind of areas, or someone you know and you're just praying, really let his forgiveness touch you. And when you really know that you're completely forgiven, that he's already paid for it, in many cases that there's going to be a child in heaven where God had to finish his handiwork. Just let God heal that place and just really accept that Christ already paid for the sin. No excuses. Yes, there was a lot of fear involved. But just ask the Lord to forgive you. And then really forgive yourself. I'm going to have all of us say this so that nobody feels like they're standing out. So say, Lord Jesus, thank you for life. Forgive me for any part I've ever played in acting as if life is not important. I break the power of ever believing that life doesn't begin at conception. Your word is very clear that you are involved at every stage of the embryo being developed. And you had wonderful plans for them. And they were marvelous and distinguished. And Lord, I accept right now the grace to receive your forgiveness and to forgive myself and to forgive any other person involved. Anyone who wanted me to end the life. Any doctors or nurses involved. Any parents or friends who were speaking from the world. I forgive them. And forgive me, God, for bringing them in to such a painful situation. Cleanse me completely. Lord Jesus, I break the power of any generational curse of abortion or murder. I break the power of assignments of violence and murder that would try to touch my family or my children's children. I cancel this now. I'm in agreement with you about life. Show me, Lord, what to do, how to vote, how to pray, how to speak up for this that's so important to you, and turn our nation around in the name of Jesus. So I just believe right now that, Lord, I just feel the presence of God so strong that he is pouring out grace. He's pouring out mercy over people in here. He's taken away this shameful place, this place you've been hiding, this place you've been justifying, this place you've never wanted to go to, this place you were afraid to go to. Wow. And I even see an inner healing for some of you. Some of you actually went through abortions and you blocked it away. And it's taken away some of your ability to think. And I see the enemy wants to plan dementia for people and just total breakdowns in the future. But I see the Lord, and He is taking you back to that place. So we're going to go back for those. Maybe it's a guy and you were in the waiting room just like, how can we be doing this? How could we be doing this? Or you were the woman there. Or you were the grandmother, or you were the mother. And the spirit of death was just released all about you in condemnation. And I want you to see Jesus walking right into that room in light. I just see Him walking in right past the waiting room where maybe the father was and grandparents or whoever or friends. And I just see light right now just coming in and saturating them, saturating them, saturating them. Lord, we just speak in the name of Jesus that You open up their understanding, that they can come to true repentance, Lord God, so they can get free. Lord, so that they can get free. We ask it in Jesus' name. And they'll turn their radio down, Lord God, while they're getting free. And I see the Lord walking right into that room. I see Him looking right in the face of that doctor. I see Him looking right, and He is angry. He is angry, a righteous anger. And I see the Lord speaking to that person, even though they may not have ears to hear. I died for this sin, but I hate it. Died for this sin. I died for you. You as a murderer. And I want you to find me. I want you to be broken and contrite and not harden your heart. And it's like it's the operating room. It's like everybody's frozen. And I see the Lord going to each nurse. And He's touching their face, and He's just going, get out of this place. Quit hardening your heart. Get out of this place. Quit hardening your heart. And now He's going to that woman. Oh, the procedure has happened to her, his process. And I see Him, and He's putting His hands around your face, and He's going, I forgive you. I died for this. I don't want to lose you to the enemy. I don't want to lose you to insanity. I don't want to lose you to self-hate. And I just see the Lord having you hug Him. And you're putting your arms around saying, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, heal me. Lord, make me whole. Lord, forgive me. Heal me and make me whole. I'm so sorry. I'm so ashamed. And I hear Jesus whispering, I just wanted to hear you say that. I just wanted to hear you ask me to forgive you. And someone is saying, but God, you know I've done this 2 or 3 times. And the Lord said, I know. Every time you hardened your heart, every time you hardened your heart, and there's so many problems in your life. But I knew the day would come when you would really ask me to forgive you so I could begin to heal your heart. I just want you. I want you. I want you one day to meet those babies. I just want you to be free. I want you to be free. I want you to be free. And then I want you to speak the truth in love. I want you to rescue others from the kind of guilt and condemnation and self-hate that I'm rescuing you from, or denial and delusion that would take your sound mind. And I just want you to see yourself hugging the Lord if it's you, and if it's not you, I want you to get His compassion for these women, these compassion for these fathers, these compassion for the grandparents, the compassion for the nurses and the doctors. I want you to get His love. And I want you to get stirred up in your heart that, God, we are somehow, through prayer, we're somehow, through love, going to be a part of helping people get free and stopping this in Your name. And I see the Lord taking this young woman down from that table where they just had some little kind of hospital gown kind of thing. And I see Him covering up their nakedness. And as he puts his arms around you, you find yourself completely clothed. Just like a beautiful gown, just like a beautiful gold gown. And I see the Lord saying, I don't see you in your nakedness. I don't see you in that place of murder. I don't see you in that evil place. I see you as my daughter. My daughter clothed in righteousness. Now see yourself that way. See yourself that way. See yourself that way. And I knew you were going to find me. I knew you were going to repent. And so I have your children with me. And one day you'll get to meet them. And they're going to cheer you on in the cloud of witness as you begin to help others get free. Because this is such a stain. Even in my church, this is such a place of shame. This is such a place of hurt and anger. It's such a place where people hide and then take on false spirituality. And I release you from these chains. And I take this grief from you. I take this grief from you. You don't have to try to make up for this by trying to prove you love your other children. You don't have to try to make up for this. You can never make up for this. I paid for this. And you are completely free. Father, we release that now over your sons and your daughters in this place, and grandparents and mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and friends, anyone, Lord God, who the enemy has ever hurt and used in this way. Even those who wanted a miscarriage because they didn't want the expense of another child, or wasn't a convenient time, whatever it is, any place where we've come in agreement with death, and any place we've come in agreement with murder, any place, Lord God, we intervened and tried to stop what you declare in Psalms 139. We repent and we ask you, Lord God, to heal us. We thank you for your faithfulness. We just thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if you have to go deeper, go deeper. I pray that you got a heart to minister to people. I just really pray that God just gave you his heart. We have got to go and set captives free. Amen.